Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it happened back on June of 2009. The federal government told us that the economy was great almost 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years coming up in a month, or less than a month. And every major street-level indicator is the economy is in free fall. The Japanese, 3 weeks ago, several days into the disaster at Fukushima, told us everything was under control, no radiation or low levels. Now they're reporting today, the LA Times, CNN, 7.5 million times legal limit being dumped into the ocean. The federal government's response is to basically try to block the release of state and local radiation monitor information in the United States, and to have the Food and Drug Administration, as well as the EPA, not release numbers on the different types of produce that they're testing here in the U.S. India, who is basically on the other side of the world comparatively, the way the winds are blowing, it starts in Japan, blows across the Pacific, across North America, across the Atlantic, across Western Europe, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, Central Asia. Asia hits the subcontinent of India, Central Asia, and then you've got to go back over into the Far East or Japan. And India has banned bringing in any type of Japanese produce or fish. Don't hold your breath for that to happen. Here they tell you, hey, eat that core exit shrimp. And they'll get a local person on from Louisiana going, it's good, go down here and get it. It's good, we got shrimp. It's good for you. Come on, eat it. My kid's going to eat it. It's going to be good for you. Come on in here. Come on, BP did what they say they're going to do. They help us out here. They give us money for what we lost if we work as slaves for them. And get on down here. This will be, this core eggs are good for you. Good for you. Good to, going to eat it. I mean, that's what's going on here, and I feel sorry for the poor folks down in Louisiana or in South Texas or in Mississippi, and they go out and they get people from far southeast Texas to go, BP did the right thing. They came in and helped us. The shrimp's good. Come on and get it. A year later, they test the shrimp, and they're full of all sorts of toxins. My whole point is our government is not going to be like India. They're going to tell you, bring in that fish, bring in that Japanese seaweed, bring in all the little vittles and things that they, you know, mix in at the sushi shops and have fun because it's good. And, you know, they do the demographics. They'll get some New York engineer on these TV ads with BP running the last 6 months or so going, I'm from New York, and I'm down here in the Gulf helping with my scientific research to make things better. And I tell you, the water is clean and the food is good. All right. I don't know how good of a New York accent I'm doing now. Oh, man. I'm going to cover all this news when we get back. And we do have Peter Schiff joining us. Ron Paul is, of course, joining us. And then we also have Bernard von Nuthaus. They want to confiscate his $7 million in silver coins. They say, look, you're not allowed to print up silver coins in America, and you're not allowed to criticize the Federal Reserve. And so they found a federal jury of low-grade morons. I mean, they got juries all the time sending people to prison for owning legal guns. I mean, they got juries in Texas. You're found with a legal shotgun in your home because some neighbor thought it was scary. You're going to prison. It doesn't matter. So it's the same thing here. I mean, you got a general public that can't even tie their shoelaces. They're like, well, you've seen the reports, people trying to buy stuff with $2 bills at stores get arrested all over the country. $2 bill? There ain't no such thing.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. It is Tuesday, the fifth day of April, 2011. We have a jam-packed transmission for you lined up today. Political researcher and economist Peter Schiff, who's been very accurate in his forecasting the economy, will be joining us on the reports that the government has spent eight times its monthly revenue just last month. Also, the looming government shutdown, the same stunt that Clinton pulled back in the mid-1990s. Then Congressman Ron Paul is going to be popping in later in the second hour. And then Bernard von Nothaus, who for decades had multiple collector memorabilia coin companies. I remember seeing the TV ads actually when I was a little kid for his Hawaiian Mint advertising coins. And he put out the Liberty Dollar. It's got to be more than 15 years ago. And operated for 15 years, and they came and confiscated $7 million in silver coins and gold coins and had a jury convict him of barter, basically. And the Associated Press basically has that statement. And remember, back in 1933, they told everybody, they said, turn your gold into the government. We're going to give you paper. And most people refused to do it, but some did. And then a year later, they doubled the price of gold. And people are like, well, then why do you say buy gold? Look, I bought gold and silver, and I'm not giving it up. Just like when the census people show up and say, tell me what guns you own, what stocks and bonds. I say, listen, get off my front porch. I'm going to call the police for trespassing. And I'm warning you, get off my porch right now, okay? Don't sit there with your baloney. I happen to know the Constitution. And if you don't stand up for your rights, you don't have them. Okay, the government's going to trample them if you don't stand up for them. The government is a criminal enterprise. Both parties at the top are bought and paid for. It's just that simple. Now, here's the other news. And quite frankly, this happens every few months where I read the news, I go over the news, and it is so off the charts, horrible. And there's so many facets of deception to break down. I don't even know where to start. It is now 100% confirmed that radiation levels are dangerously high on the West Coast. Multiple universities have picked up between 50 and 181 times safe levels of just one radioactive isotope of radioactive iodine. And it is confirmed that the feds are basically telling people not at universities and state institutions not to report it, and they're now not reporting it after they first put out numbers in the last week. And the feds are not releasing numbers, and they're claiming that in Canada and the U.S., most government radiation detectors have been, quote, switched off. And I have that in my stack of news here today. And there is no discussion or talk about testing fish from Japan or stopping imports of vegetables or fruits from Japan. India and others are banning all imports from Japan of food and produce. Toyota's put out advisories. When you buy a Toyota now, there may be radiation in the car. That's about the only company actually trying to warn people a little bit, or at least tell them up front there could be some radiation here to cover their hind ends. I think Toyota's got a great product. I'm not here bashing them because it's a foreign company. Japan's actually built more factories here than GM has in the last decade. But that's going on. I mean, here's some of the headlines on that front. And I've got all these guests coming up, but I could talk for 3 hours just on this, but it's such a big deal. And it illustrates how corrupt the government is. Japan's ocean radiation hits 7.5 million times legal limit. That's LA Times. Japanese government admits. CNN, radiation in water rushing into sea tests millions of times over limit. Japan radiation evacuees left in dark about life after shelters. Doctors don't want to treat them because they believe it's dangerous to even treat people that have been exposed to this much radiation. That's actually true. But, hey, you signed on to be a doctor, to be a nurse. So even if it's dangerous, you know, if somebody's got some communicable Ebola, you're supposed to treat them. So very shameful there. EPA to raise limits for radiation exposure while Canada turns off fallout detectors. Mike Adams has got a report up at InfoWars.com on this, and he links to all the mainstream news where they just bury it in footnotes that they're raising the legal radiation exposure limit. That way they can say, well, this isn't bad. We've raised the limit. Kind of like back in 1991, they said to the troops, well, we told you don't use DU before, but now we're saying it's good for you. Also, government holding radiation data back. IAEA gets info, but public doesn't. So the UN gets it, the Japanese government's reporting, but we don't. And Japan says, look, dumping radioactive water into the ocean doesn't violate law, even if it's 7.5 million times safe levels. And it just continues on from there. And you better believe that we are not going to get any information out of the federal government on what's happening. And they are running around basically now since the weekend, when Berkeley, with the state monitoring facilities there, reported 181 times safe radioactive isotope of iodine-131 in the water, that now they've suddenly stopped releasing information. So that's going on that front. The government here in the United States, that is the government that's run by foreign banks, the occupational government, and that's what it is. That isn't radio rhetoric, okay? We are captured. We have been signed on to the bank's debt. We are debt slaves until we stand up and say we're not slaves. Wall Street Journal reporting FBI questions Libyans in the U.S. ahead of what they could believe could be preparations for Gaddafi to strike back. And then that'll be great for the criminals that run the government, because they can just stage the events themselves or hope that Gaddafi does something as a way to take more of our liberties and grandstand as our saviors and expand wars. But again, you're not supposed to call it a war. Also, El Baradei, the former UN IAEA chief, is coming out renouncing the Zionist regime of Israel and saying that if there's any more attacks on the Gaza that borders Egypt and Israel, that they will declare war on Israel. So there is the U.S.-backed minion on record, sent in a week before the rioting started to remove the old dictator, Hosni Mubarak. He's the front runner in upcoming elections. And El Baradei is probably just trying to score political points by saying they'll declare war on the Zionist regime. So just more theater out of that. Continuing, oil hits $120 after strike in Gabon, the small African country. You've also got the French fully invading the country of Ivory Coast, openly trying to install a new minion and backing up the rebels who are slaughtering people with machetes and machine guns en masse. That's all confirmed. But that's what the good guys do. They have to intervene to make sure the slaughter happens, like the UN in 94 in Rwanda, 800,000 slaughtered under UN support. Continuing, oil prices hit all-time high in Britain, and that means bad news for motorists and possibly for homeowners. Continuing, the OPEC is saying no emergency meeting to try to cut prices. And here's Reuters certainly backing up what Lindsey Williams said coming up on 6 months ago. Let me see, October, November, December, January, February, March. Yeah, that's 6 months ago. Back in October, said that his insiders were telling him it would go to $200 a barrel. And now here is the Reuters headline. Oil could hit $200 to $300 on Saudi unrest and Yemen unrest. But don't worry. Fox News yesterday reported that the Yemen government is doing what it has to machine gun crowds of protesters, because if they don't, Al-Qaeda will come in the power vacuum and take over Yemen. But it's Al-Qaeda publicly, the core, even the Wall Street Journal admits, of the rebels against Gaddafi and the special forces, U.S. and British, arming them. But never mind reality. You know, I listen to mainline neocon talk radio. I monitor it. I skip around on the channels in the morning and at night when I'm driving. And all they talk about is not the bankers raping us, not the private Federal Reserve, not the out-of-control federal government. It's all just Muslims are going to get you. Muslims are dangerous. Muslims are evil. Muslims want to murder you. And undoubtedly, out of 1,300,000,000 Muslims, there are a lot of whack jobs and crazies, maybe 1%, 2%. But that's in every group. The issue is the Muslims are all stirred up because the globalists have used the U.S. and Europe to put hundreds of bases in and around the Middle East, hundreds of bases. There's over 1,000 U.S. bases total outside the U.S., but hundreds and hundreds of bases in and around, constant invasions, constant overthrows, dictators being propped up, dictators being removed, new dictators being put in. If we didn't buy all of our oil or a lot of it from the Middle East, they wouldn't have all this money to have all these weapons. But this is all part of this clash of civilizations. And just like they send in El Baradei to start saying, war with Israel, Zionists, we're going to get you. And the U.S. government's putting him in, and the U.S. government and Israel are locked at the hip. And then Israel will use those threats to crack down on freedom of the press in Israel and keep their warmongering going. I mean, look, these military systems and these banking systems that use the military to control the countries, whether it's Europe, the U.S., Israel, or China for that matter, they love the threat of internal insurrection as a pretext to crack down on everybody and to have no-bid contracts and to have the lion's share of the economy pumped into defense. And that's why this stuff's never going to end. You know, you've got Glenn Beck and Limbaugh and all them talking about the communist, talking about George Soros, talking about the unions and how dangerous they are, but then acting like they're the end-all, be-all. They're the people that cause the problem. And if we just got rid of the welfare, we wouldn't be bankrupt. Well, I've done the math with countless top economists here. We've done the math with Ron Paul here. You could cut all the welfare, all the pensions, everything. It won't pay a fraction of the 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion conservatively. Even the Washington Post admits it's 600 plus trillion. It won't pay a fraction of that. So they're just scapegoating all about unions and welfare moms and welfare queens. And certainly there's abuse there and problems. But it's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. And I never hear these neocons talking about the banksters that financed Clinton, Bush, Obama. I mean, that's the issue. You don't stop them, none of it matters. Then I was on Tom Hartman's TV show last night, and I'm going to talk about that when we get back. And then I got a bunch of other news, and Ron Paul's coming up. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Six megabanks are above the law. They are publicly allowed to launder drug money, to own and run the drug aircraft, to finance the weapons, everything. They're allowed to take the veterans' death benefits. It's all been stolen as of 11 years ago. They took the police, the fire, the teacher, the private pension funds that were invested in derivatives. They imploded it. They stole your assets. They got the Congress to sign on to the debt. And now they're going to hold the public hostage and say, give us more taxes, give us more government, and then you might get part of your pension. Then they blame capitalism and the free market for it. I saw an IMF report out today saying capitalism is outdated. This isn't capitalism. This is thieves, criminals in there working with government so that they're above the law and so that there's not a financially fair or level playing field to consolidate wealth. But the mainline Republicans won't tell you that. They tell you corporations are always perfect and good, not when they're bigger than governments and operate above the law. And write trade deals to shut down their competition that they're exempt from, just like Obama and the insurance companies writing the insurance law to force you to buy their insurance and then to lower the quality of it. And then they exempt all of Obama's minions from having to buy it. True economic discrimination. This is the system we're in. A fraudulent kleptocracy, not socialism, not even capitalism, no, just a criminal system. And I was on Tom Hartman's TV show. It's on Free Speech TV. It's on RT. It's a popular show. Tom Hartman's a very smart, you know, mainline liberal guy. It was painful to be on his TV show last night because he was using sophomoric, childlike, deceptive, ridiculous statements to make state nullification 10th Amendment sound illegal and ridiculous. He was saying, well, if Texas secedes, I don't trust Rick Perry with nuclear weapons. And I said, A, Texas isn't going to secede. Perry's not a real secessionist. Nullification simply means, under the 9th and 10th Amendment, that the states, also under the Declaration of Independence, can basically declare their just powers. And when the federal government gets out of control and the federal government itself has been fully seized through globalism and all of these treaties they've signed with private institutions like the IMF, World Bank, World Trade Organization. And so we need the states to take over to just get our country back. And he would use sophomoric little statements about, but we don't want Rick Perry with nukes, to make his audience basically have the idea that some new civil war was coming. It's not an adult discussion. And it's not an adult discussion with Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and people, because they narrow the spectrum of debate down to basically simplistic ideas that don't even begin to fully explain what's happening. What's happening to America has been planned. What's happening to America, I told you 16 years ago, was being engineered. 12 years ago with economists, when they got rid of Glass-Steagall and created the derivatives, which allowed them to go from fractional reserve banking, where banks loan out $10 for every dollar of deposits, to unlimited, made-up financial instruments that were designed to transfer all power fraudulently through the Ponzi scheme to the international banking cartel. And then once they implode it, which is now happening, they hold everyone hostage and say, give us even more power, more control. We're setting up a new Bretton Woods system. George Soros is meeting today to get that job done as the globalists engineer the crisis and then offer the solution, giving them even more power over every facet of society. Then they use the economic threat to consolidate the economic structure under their control even more. And they use the manufactured terror threat. You got a better chance of dying from a honeybee sting or dying in a car wreck. They don't care. They hype it to where we're taking your rights, we're militarizing police, we're setting up citizen spy brigades to fight Al-Qaeda. Then you get the internal training manuals. None of it has to do with Al-Qaeda or Muammar Gaddafi or the Iranians. It all has to do with gun owners, real libertarians, conservatives, real anti-war activists, anybody that the power structure on the left and right sees as a threat. They're openly moving towards censorship of the internet. They're openly talking about restricting free speech if it, quote, hurts military efforts. They're openly trying to introduce us to an autocratic, command and control, anti-liberty system. And they've been bankrupting us by design to make us servile debt slaves to this cartel. And it's either us or the globalists. It's that simple. All right, Peter Schiff is coming up to break down what's happening on the economy. We're also got Ron Paul coming up, popping in the next hour. And then we've got the gentleman who's been arrested for silver coins.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We're going to be talking live to financial analyst of great renown, Peter Schiff, syndicated radio host as well. Here in just a moment, I want to remind listeners that we have Jesse Ventura's new book and are shipping it daily. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. Incredibly powerful. A perfect tool to wake up your friends and family. Available at InfoWars.com. When you get it with Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True, Mark Dice's new book, or the only place you can get it, at InfoWars.com, breaking down this panopticon of surveillance society. When you get it discounted with Jesse Ventura's new book, you can get one of my best-selling films for free. Whatever you'd like, Fall of the Republic, Obama Deception, Endgame, you name it, that is all available on the online video bookstore shopping cart at InfoWars.com, or you can simply call toll-free 888-253-3139. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. And your purchase of the books, the videos, the liberty-minded T-shirts, it helps you spread the word, but also helps this operation fund itself. We're not funded by George Soros or News Corp or the Ford Foundation. We are supported by our sponsors and by the online video bookstore as well as the GCN Radio Network, and we're very, very thankful for their support. Also, in this economy, we're getting more and more great AM and FM affiliates out there. Please support their local sponsors, or if you're a listener and have a business, support the Liberty Movement as this show explodes. Think about sponsoring the show locally in your area. That's also a very important part of this operation continuing to grow and expand here at the tip of the spear. Also, just spreading the word. If you're listening to us on a local AM or FM station, tell people at a red light or the grocery store or at church or at work how they can tune in to their local AM and FM affiliate. Or XM now carries us live during the day, not just rebroadcast at night. You can also spread the word about that. And then people can also listen to the free podcast every day or the live streams at Infowars.com. And we're streaming in live video, living color, with an added dimension of information with the video clips and the documents at PrisonPlanet.tv. And that's also not just streamed live. It's archived each and every day. Just about an hour after the show ends, it's uploaded to PrisonPlanet.tv. I wanted to get Peter on a host of issues. It is being reported by Cyber News Service and others. March Madness, U.S. government spent more than eight times its monthly revenue in the month of March. Also, the Liberty Dollar folks has been convicted, Mr. Nuthaus. And on top of that, the feds are trying to forfeiture $7 million in silver and gold coins that they have. And they're trying to push the idea that they can basically confiscate gold and silver. This we have to stand together or hang separate. Peter Schiff is CEO and Chief Global Strategist for Euro Pacific Capital, Inc. Mr. Schiff began his investment career as a financial consultant with Lehman Brothers. After having earned a degree in finance and accounting from UC Berkeley, a financial professional for over 20 years, he joined Euro Pacific in 96 and has served as president since January 2000. He's also contributing commentator for Newsweek International and serves as a economic advisor to the 2008 Ron Paul presidential campaign. Europac.net is the website. Peter, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Alex. And just to remind your audience, you know, my show immediately precedes your show on this network now. I'm on for 2 hours a day from 10 to noon on GCN.
Absolutely. Excited to have you as a member of the team. I've heard the show. Sounds great. Peter, so much to talk about. Bretton Woods 2 going on with Soros today. IMF coming out saying capitalism has failed. But this system of crony capitalism or inside corrupt megabanks getting government to basically make the public pay for their losses, that's not capitalism, is it?
No, not at all. Capitalism works everywhere it's tried. The problem is capitalism is often infected with the disease of socialism or statism. That's what happens. And whenever you mix capitalism with socialism and you create problems, the politicians always blame the problems on capitalism, and they ignore the fact that they were introduced by the socialist legislation that prevented capitalism from working.
That's what's happening, and now we see the Democrats trying to sick the unions and people on other Americans that want to see the budget cut. What's your basic political forecast on where this country currently is and where it's going?
Well, we're in a lot of trouble, you know, and the country is going to get into deeper trouble because we continue to repeat the mistakes that created the problems in the first place. And, you know, when they're trying to couch the argument of cutting back on government spending as somehow being anti-workers, because after all, government workers are going to see their pay cut if we cut back on government. But if we don't do that, then we have to cut the pay of everybody in the private sector because we have to raise their taxes to continue to pay government workers more money than their bosses in the private sector are making. So if you really want to be on the side of the working man, then you've got to be for smaller government because the working man cannot afford the massive government bureaucracy that he's being forced to pay for right now.
Well, if you look at a lot of the super rich at the brokerage houses and mega banks that have gotten, you know, the trillions in bailout money, they're financing the George Soros crowds, the unions on record, to then put out numbers about 5% of the population has half the wealth. And basically the ultra rich, many of them are trying to sick the uninformed blue collar folks, some of them, on the middle class, who on average is really paying around 40%. in federal income taxes. So do you agree with me that basically you've got a lot of insiders who are ultra wealthy trying to scapegoat things onto the middle class?
Well, certainly you've got a small segment of the wealthy people who got their wealth through government subsidies or special access granted by government or through the central bank. A lot of Wall Street bankers, financiers are getting rich as the Federal Reserve helps them, you know, bleed the rest of the country. But the vast majority of Americans who have wealth achieved it honestly. They started legitimate businesses. They didn't get special government breaks. In fact, they had to overcome all the obstacles and hurdles that the government put in their path. They are the real heroes. They create the wealth, provide the goods and services, provide the employment opportunities. And it's unfair that they're getting tarred with the same brush. And when you have the central bank doing what they're doing, it giving capitalism a bad name, it is stoking the fears of socialism and feeding this class warfare, because the average Americans are getting poor. The value of their wages, the value of their savings is being destroyed by the government, by the Federal Reserve. And as they fall further and further behind, they're looking for someone to blame. And when they see in the media these Wall Street tycoons making a fortune, it's very easy for the demagogues to come in and channel that rage and beat the drums for socialism, get the rich, soak the rich, you know, take their money. And then, of course, once you go down that path, there's no turning back, because everybody has somebody who's poorer than them who thinks they're rich. And if you have the guy that's making $100,000 a year wants to take money from the guy that's making $1 million a year because he doesn't need all that money and make him pay his fair share, well, to the guy that's making $30,000 a year, the guy that's making $100,000 a year, he's rich and he doesn't need all that money either.
And then meanwhile, we have General Electric, Google, and a handful of other Fortune 100 who help write the loopholes publicly in Congress. They're paying zero tax or 2% tax or 2.5% tax. And literally, I've studied it, they are the ones financing the big foundations at the universities, teaching the young people that their future is based on wealth redistribution, when the mega rich themselves have basically written the rules where they're exempt from this.
And meanwhile, companies like General Electric would have been bankrupt if they didn't get bailed out. And one of the reasons that they don't pay taxes is because all the money that they lost during the financial crisis. But of course, had they been allowed to go bankrupt, it would be a much different situation. But meanwhile, I own a small company, my company, Euro Pacific Capital. I'm paying about 42-43% of my corporate income in taxes, you know, because I can't take advantage of all these loopholes. And then whatever I, you know, my personal income, I'm paying about 45% of what I earn in taxes. And if they raise them much higher, you know, more than half my money is going to be stolen from me by the state and redistributed to other people. You know, how long do they expect me to work if the government's going to take the fruits of my labor? And how long am I going to go on employing people and paying these taxes if I'm turned into a serf?
And for those that don't know, you can look this up. China has much lower corporate income tax. So do most other nations. The United States has, last time I checked, one of the highest corporate income taxes in the world.
It's actually, Alex, the only country that has a higher tax is Japan, but that's not actually true, because people forget about the state corporate income taxes. So if you have a corporation in New York or New Jersey or Connecticut or California or, you know, Chicago, you're paying an income tax rate well north of 40%. You know, these other countries don't have the local income tax like we do. They just have one income tax. We have two, and sometimes if there's a city income tax, you got three.
Yeah, let me explain that to folks. You know, people say Texas is great because there's no state income tax, but the truth is, in the last 5 years, Texas has passed three new business taxes, and they hit companies that start making over $100,000 a year. They have a franchise tax, hospital district taxes, several other taxes that now total federal tax, corporate tax, all the taxes I pay. By the end of it, I've got about 40% to get to my employees and for equipment and things. And then my employees all pay taxes, Peter.
Of course. I mean, I looked at my business, Europe, you know, my brokerage firm. The U.S. government makes far more money from my brokerage firm than I do. I mean, certainly, if you just take a look at the revenues it collects from me in my income tax. But what about the income tax paid by over 100 of my employees that, you know, because of me? And then if you look at all the other fees and licensing fees, and the government is making a fortune off of my business.
Look at your cell phone bill. I mean, how many little taxes do they just add now to that? I mean, it's the water taxes, the trash taxes. There's hundreds of these. Now, Peter, in the time we've got left, breaking down your prognosis of the economy, it looks like everything you predicted 5 years ago is now happening. The head of Walmart admits, quote, serious inflation is now starting, more and more monetization of debt. I mean, are we now heading into that depression?
Well, yeah, you talk about taxation. Inflation is the most vicious form of taxation because people don't even realize they're paying it. You know, the government is blaming rising prices on speculators, on foreign growth, on Middle East tension. Prices are rising because the government is printing money. Instead of taking money away from us in taxes and spending it, they're robbing our purchasing power. And when your purchasing power is robbed, the way you see that is the price of everything that you need to buy is going up. And this is what is happening. And you mentioned, you know, early before you introduced me, that in the month of March, the government spent 8.5 times what it collected in tax revenues. The lion's share of that money was going to repay maturing Treasury debt. And guess who? How they were able to repay it? By borrowing it from the Federal Reserve, which bought about 70% of those new issues. What is going to happen in a couple of months when the federal government has to borrow all this money and the Federal Reserve's not there? You know, either interest rates have to skyrocket to convince other people to buy, or the Fed's going to have to be back for QE3. But either way, we got big, big problems ahead.
I wanted to ask that question. Europe, for the first time in decades, led with the announcement, not the Fed, that they're going to go ahead and increase interest rates. The Fed then followed and said maybe at the end of the year. What is it going to do as interest rates rise? Why are they saying that's triggering further dollar devaluation?
Well, A, they're not rising fast enough, because just raising interest rates by a quarter point here and a quarter point there ain't going to do it. You're still behind the curve. The Fed has to get aggressive to fight inflation, but the problem is it can't get aggressive because the entire phony recovery that we have going is built on a foundation of cheap money and cheap credit. And if you take that foundation away, the whole thing will implode. So the Fed is in a box that if it wants to pretend the economy is growing, it has to keep rates down and let inflation run out of control. All it can do is lie about it, pretend it doesn't exist, and then when it shows up, blame it on somebody else.
So what's the time frame here? I mean, you predicted the collapse of the Fannie and Freddie. You predicted what happened in October of 2008. What's on the horizon, and what's right down the street, and what's standing right in front of us?
Well, I don't know exactly how much time we have. I think you can measure it just a few short years, and it might not even be that much time. It might be 6 months. I think a much greater financial crisis is coming. You know, what we had in 2008 was the overture. The opera has only just begun. And the reason it's going to be so bad is because of all the things the government did to save us from the pain. They didn't save us from the pain. They postponed it, but made it much worse. And I think, you know, you mentioned earlier about, Knott House and how the government is, you know, trying to turn what he did into a counterfeiting or an act of terrorism. If you look at what the government is doing, they are laying the foundation for making it illegal to buy gold and silver or sell gold and silver. Because what they said was that Knott House was a terrorist. And what did he do? Right? He didn't counterfeit U.S. currency. He created an alternative. He tried to advocate using his Liberty dollars instead of using U.S. dollars. He wasn't trying to confuse people over what they were. He didn't try to create them so that he could pass them off pretending they were legitimate U.S. currency. His plan, he was saying U.S. currency is no good. It's going to get inflated away. So hold on to this instead. And what the government says is that act, the act of offering an alternative to the dollar, makes you a terrorist. Well, if he's a terrorist, I'm a terrorist. I got a precious metals company, Euro Pacific Precious Metals. I recommend that people buy gold and silver. I sell gold and silver. In my most recent newsletter, I recommended using gold and silver as a form of barter. And so am I undermining the U.S. monetary system?
No, the globalists, by devaluing the dollar, by monetizing debt, they're the ones that are doing it. And so now they're scared of alternatives that publicly challenge them. And it's a very dangerous precedent.
Absolutely. The one who's undermining our monetary system is Ben Bernanke. It's Congress. They're debasing the money. But what the government doesn't want is Americans to have an escape valve. They don't want Americans to have an alternative. They want to keep us bottled in that currency so they can keep stealing its value. And this is shows you, it's the camel's nose under the tent. You know, first they go after this guy, and then they expand it. And eventually, it's illegal to own it. You can't, because if somebody owns gold, they're undermining our monetary system. After all, they could have been saving in dollars. I'm telling people to buy gold, not to save dollars. Well, I'm undermining our monetary system. Well, the problem is it's already been undermined. I understand that. So I'm trying to get Americans to understand that if they don't want to be broke, that they need to save something of real intrinsic value. Yeah. And the government doesn't want anybody doing
that.
Well,
it's really simple. You've come out with a car, and we've come out with a car that works better, has high quality. We're telling people that a certain dealership has a record of selling cars that break down when you drive them off the lot, and the car dealership has sent police to basically try to arrest us. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They don't want reality of precious metals getting in the way of their fraudulent system.
Meanwhile, you know, gold's at an all-time record high today. Finally, silver's at a new 31-year high. And it's not like that we're trying to make cars and pass them off as these lousy cars that the government is making. We are basically saying, no, the government's car is no good. Buy this one instead. Counterfeiting is when if somebody counterfeits a $100 bill, they make it look exactly like a $100 bill, and they go and spend it, and they hope the person thinks it's a legitimate $100 bill, a legal U.S. tender. That is not what anybody who is advocating gold and silver ownership is doing. In fact, they're specifically stating that money is no good.
Absolutely. Peter Schiff, stay there. Final segment coming up. We'll look more at the economy straight ahead with Peter Schiff. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
You look like an angel.
So the private Federal Reserve teamed up with the government, has basically destroyed the dollar, devalued it. They're monetizing 70% of the debt. That means Weimar Republic, Zimbabwe, Argentina. And if you go back to 1933, they do not want to compete with gold and silver. And as gold and silver continues its meteoric rise, they have been trying to demonize it. They've been trying to manipulate the market. They're now failing against the laws of economics. And we are just steamrolling into this crisis. The very banksters that engineered this are now going to pose as our saviors and try to bring in even more controlled economies as the answer, which never works. It works for them, not for the general public. Peter, how do we defeat these people?
Well, ultimately, they're going to defeat themselves because the whole economy is going to collapse around them. We have to make sure that they get the blame for it, that central banking and central government planning gets the blame. All we've had is repeated doses of government stimulus. The stimulus is the problem. The stimulus is toxic. That's why the country is so sick. And we're not going to solve our problems with government stimulus. We can't solve them until the government stops stimulating. The problem is they never will because they don't have the political courage to take away the punch bowl. Because in order to get better, we have to swallow some bitter-tasting medicine. We have to recognize that our economy is all screwed up. We've got too many people working for government, too many people working in the service sector, not enough people manufacturing and producing. We've got too many regulations. We've got too much rules. We don't have enough savings. A lot of things have to change. And during that transition, you know, there's going to be winners and losers. And the politicians don't want that because a lot of the losers are the ones that are voting these politicians into office. So they're just going to continue to pretend that they can make everything better with a magic wand, that all we need is to print some more money, to have some more spending and more stimulus, and we'll solve these problems. We're going to overdose on government stimulus. They're going to kill this economy. And we're witnessing the beginnings of it right now. I mean, gold wouldn't be up $19 an ounce. Silver wouldn't be up almost 70 cents today if what they were doing was working.
Now, are you concerned about this government shutdown, the Democrats trying to hold people hostage if they don't increase spending?
Now, I'm concerned that it won't shut down. I mean, a government shutdown is the best thing that could happen to us because if the government doesn't shut down, then the country's going to shut down. The only way to save the country is to shut down the government and force spending cuts. I mean, we have a $1.6 trillion budget deficit for this year, and these clowns are arguing over whether we should cut that by $30 billion or $60 billion. That's peanuts. I mean, that's not going to do anything. The Republicans need to argue for real, meaningful cuts in government spending. Because now, even if they get what they want, it's meaningless. The whole economy is still going to collapse.
Exactly. If we don't say no to the too big to fail derivatives model, then everything else is just academic. But expanding finally on that, to be clear about my point, just like in October of 2008, the Treasury and Fed held the country hostage, talked down the economy to cause that huge plunge to then get their bailout. I'm saying they're going to try to use a government shutdown as a way to hold us hostage to go along with the expanding debt.
Well, they're not going to shut the government down. They're going to make a lot of noise. And at the end of the day, they're going to raise the debt ceiling yet again. And they're going to spend more money because they can do it. And as long as the Chinese are lending to us and the Japanese and the Saudis, we're going to keep borrowing. And as long as Ben Bernanke is printing, we're going to keep spending. And then until the whole thing falls off the edge of a cliff. And nobody wants to acknowledge that what we need to do is raise interest rates, tighten up on credit, because nobody wants to go through the fact that, well, that's going to bring down the stock market. That's going to cause housing prices to fall. They have to fall. Housing prices are too high. And the consequence of trying to artificially prop them up with cheap credit is that we destroy the currency and we inflict far greater damage and far greater losses across the country than if we simply let housing prices fall to their natural level.
Well, bottom line, we're in a battle to get the truth out, because if we don't, the system's going to use these crises to expand their model of vertical integration with the mega corporations teamed up with government. Peter Schiff, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to speaking to you in the near future.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We'll be right back with the second hour. Congressman Ron Paul coming up.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've only got him for about 15 minutes, maybe less, because of votes coming up. Congressman Ron Paul needs no introduction. Globally now recognized as the true leader of the liberty movement against collectivism and corruption. We've got a host of questions for him. Sir, gold is exploding. Silver is exploding right now. The Federal Reserve is monetizing now 70% of the debt. The dollar is plunging. Everything you've talked about is beginning to unfold. OPEC's talking about $200 a barrel oil. Is this the big event you've been talking about that we're beginning to see come into view?
Well, it's huge, and it has started, and whether it comes about and really is identified as the big event and everybody recognizes it within the next 30 days or so, I'm not positive. But I believe it is the beginning, but it's been going on. You know, you and others have been talking about commodity prices going up, but even Greenspan today had talk. He said, hey, we better keep an eye on this inflation. You know, but what he fails to see, as so many others fail to see, is inflation is when they print the money and create the credit out of thin air, and then the price increases come afterwards. So we've known there's been inflation. Now we're just looking for the bad results. So, yes, this is big, and that surge in gold today is a big issue. Today I was talking to the staff, but I didn't say the price of gold was up. I said, well, the dollar was just further devalued, you know, against gold, which is the ultimate test. Devaluation's not good for anybody.
But when you grill Bernanke monthly in the banking committee, he almost sometimes does laugh when you talk about inflation. He acts like it's no issue, but the head of Walmart says that inflation is going to be very serious.
Well, I think it's further along than we realize. You've probably seen the stories about how the retail people are fooling the people for a while. At least they try, you know, to make the bottles a little smaller and put 15 ounces in a bag instead of 16 ounces and, you know, just cutting corners. But that is not the solution to inflation. The solution to inflation is not having a Federal Reserve run by somebody like Bernanke.
Shifting gears into the war, Obama didn't even approach Congress for even a flimsy authorization of force. I mean, that's clearly impeachable, but you've pointed out Bush did similar things. But, I mean, shouldn't even if Obama is a puppet congressman, shouldn't we move for congressional hearings to talk about these new wars that are being launched?
Well, it would be nice, but I think that we should have been doing this and demanding that we meet our responsibilities in the Congress 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, every day it's less and less. You know, I was thinking about this government close down. You know, one of the downside of this, or at least we come out with the truth, let's say we close the government down, but and Congress no longer is functioning, and the government's not functioning, so to speak. But you know what? government's going to continue to function, do you think? Do you think the regulators aren't going to regulate? Do you think the Fed's not going to print money? Do you think they're not going to bail out people? I mean, the whole goes. What it would point out is that Congress is truly irrelevant. You know, we've known it's been irrelevant with the war issue, but, you know, that would be, you know, a mixed blessing. It would point out the truth, but it would also indicate that we're in bad shape because Congress doesn't have much to say about what's going on.
Congressman, does this not set the clearest precedent ever under globalism, one world government? Even Fox News has made that point, that the president then took orders from the UN and less than 48 hours launched the bombardment of Libya.
Yeah, and they, you know, even Bush Sr. bragged about that. Remember, he didn't want to go to Congress. He came and got a token approval in 1991, you know, for the Persian Gulf War. But he says he got his orders from the UN. He didn't need to go to Congress. He eventually did. But he even used the word. That was the first time I heard a president use the word New World Order. Anybody that used that had to be a conspiracy nut. But there, Bush was saying, well, this is what we need to do for the New World Order. And they used that, you know, of course, when they gave us the WTO. Oh, the New World Order is marching on. And the New World Order is certainly looking at this monetary crisis. We want, you know, the Constitution. We want sound money. We want gold money and honest money. At the same time, the internationalists are planning, you know, for their international fiat currency.
Stay there. Let's come back with that, Congressman. Quick break. We'll be right back with Ron Paul.
This is Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, we've only got 10 minutes with him once the bell rings for the vote. So we got Congressman Ron Paul joining us. Obviously, needs no introduction. We were just talking to him a few minutes ago. If he just joined us, we were raising this point of Obama becoming the first sitting president to be sitting on the UN Security Council as the head of it, violating Article 1, Section 9. Now, not even getting a token authorization of force or resolution from Congress, following UN orders to launch that attack in less than 48 hours. We were talking about this really being the biggest move yet for the New World Order. And then we were getting into, Congressman, how we want more liberty. We don't want dollar devaluation. We want Congress in control of currency and credit. But instead, the banksters you were mentioning, they want something else. They're openly calling now for a world government, an IMF, World Bank, Bancor, global currency. Can you speak to that, please?
Yes, and I think the evidence is mounting about our concerns about the dollar, you know, crashing. Prices are going up. They've been going up. But I thought it was very important today that Bernanke, you know, in his sweet talk, admitted that, prices are going up. We'll have to watch this very carefully in case we have to do something. Of course, all the damage has been done over the last 3 years because they doubled and tripled the money supply, and that's where the problem is. So they know what we know and what we talk about. They know that the dollars, the days are limited, and we plan and hope that we can restore constitutional money and hard money and sound economic policy. At the same time, the crisis that's coming, the new world orders, the world people, they see it as an opportunity to move one step forward. They go to war, and they go to war under NATO and United Nations, not by the Congress. But they want also, because ultimately the big one is control of the money. So they are making their plans to have a worldwide fiat currency, the IMF World Bank operations. But they have a long way to go because that still is fake money. It's fiat money, and they have to defy the marketplace. I mean, they may make the attempt, and they may be able to cause a lot of harm in the meantime. But ultimately, sound money wins out. Just hopefully we do our job and liberty wins out over the tyrants.
Congressman, looking at what's happening around the world and the French basically invading Ivory Coast, these moves into Libya with the special forces advisors there. I mean, I've even seen statements out of NATO and others that this is a great day for globalism, a great day for world governance, that now the UN, if rebels in any country rebel, the UN can pick and choose and decide whether to have a resolution to basically back the rebels and bomb them. I mean, that's really a flimsy face, in my view, over neo-colonialism.
Yeah, it's just a change, and it's not going to work for them, no matter how hard they try and how many temporary military victories they have. It's going to be a failed system. I think Obama has the worst policy conceivable. First, he goes in on his own under UN, and then he uses our force to intimidate him. And then he says, oh, the American people must not like this, so I'm going to back off. There's no way that we won't be blamed for everybody getting killed over there, because it'll be our weapons and our money, and if they need us, we're going to go back in. And already they do have our CIA agents in there, and we've handpicked a guy that lived over here for 20 years. We've sent him over. But it's messier than that. They can't iron this out. They think they've ironed it out in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're nowhere close to it. Even in Iraq, I think that's a terrible mess. But here we are over assisting the rebels in Libya, and already it's well known that Al Qaeda has infiltrated the rebels in Libya. So they're doomed to fail, and the bankruptcy will bring us to our knees. Let's just hope we can put it back together in a lot better shape than we have it now.
Well, as you know, Congressman, and because you've cited his work quite a bit, Michael Scheuer, the former head of the Bin Laden program at the CIA, chief analyst, just 2 days ago on CNN, he said, look, you guys are putting out pure theater. So is Hillary. So is Obama. This is absolute garbage. There is Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is the core of this group. And it turns out that even the guy trained in Virginia admits that he sent troops previously to Iraq to kill our soldiers. So we're told we got to be in Pakistan looking for 100 Al-Qaeda total in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But then you have thousands of admitted Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb there in North Africa, and they're now our allies. This is beyond 1984.
Yeah, no, it's total insanity. And the one thing we know, it will fail. But how many people are going to suffer in the meantime? But it will serve its purpose in many ways by bringing us to our knees. And some of them, like the opportunity, they don't let emergencies go to waste. They take advantage of it, and that's why they think they can advance the New World Order and one world government under these conditions. But, I think communications these days are such that our message is spreading, and I hope we're going to be very good competitors with the one worlders.
Well, that's my next point. We were talking during the break about how Fox even admits to you, well, we have you on because the listenership, viewership goes up. There's still a free market of ideas. And Cass Sunstein and others, and now we've seen Senator Graham with the foolish Koran burning, saying maybe we should restrict free speech on Face the Nation. We're seeing Jay Rockefeller saying we would have been better off without ever having an internet. We see real moves and real announcements for fairness doctrine with this perfect storm of dinosaur media that's carrying water for the insiders, losing credibility, government losing credibility, and so more and more of a incentive to try to shut down our voices, but the genie's out of the bottle. What's your view on that?
Well, I think we always have to be vigilant, and I think they are going to try very hard. I think if you look at the educational system, the real competition in education is homeschooling and private schooling. And the government doesn't like that. They don't like this competition. But so far, more and more people are joining it. I think they're going to have a hard time closing us all down. I think they're going to have a hard time taking our guns. I think they're going to have a hard time taking the gold away from us like they did in the 30s. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think our side is growing, and it's alive and well, and more determination. Some people probably are further along in their pessimism about what we can salvage than I am. But I remain, in many ways, optimistic that much good can come of this. And so no matter how hard they try to suppress us, I think it's going to be impossible to do it.
Well, you're right, and that's what you've written about and spoken about for decades. If we individually live a philosophy of liberty, it's going to outshine everything around us, our neighbors, local government, federal government, and people are going to see that success and that track record of being accurate. For 30 years, you've talked about inflation, tax, devaluation, and the campaign 3 years ago. Some tried to laugh at you, but now I see editorials and major papers everywhere saying Ron Paul won't get the snub this time, and that leads me to 2012. Obviously, even if you didn't get the nomination, it would be a great educational victory to have you in those debates. When are we going to be hearing an announcement, Congressman, on whether you're going to run for president or not?
Well, it can't be too far off. I would think in a month or so I'm going to have to make a final decision. Matter of fact, I may have to make a token decision on on one debate. They're inviting potential candidates to go to South Carolina in May, and I'm pretty close to saying that I will come without a commitment to what I'm going to do in filing legal papers. So we're getting awfully close, and there are just a few other things that I have to iron out personally to make my final decision. But it has to come. None of the other major candidates have made that official announcement. I'm not quite sure.
Obama, that's all, Obama.
Yeah, Obama. He's the one that got out in front of everybody else. So I guess there aren't going to be any other candidates. Maybe the other Republicans are intimidated. Maybe they think they can't beat him now that he's a popular war president.
Well, you know, sir, you're going to win in the intellectual battle. I mean, the great educational engagement you did 3 years ago, I would guess, is going to be dwarfed. I'm a little worried about your safety. I think everybody should pray for you, also financially support you. I mean, obviously, I hope you're going to have some really good bodyguards because I believe you've got a chance to actually win, sir. And then you're going to have to publicly come out when they try to steal the nomination from you, like they threatened Reagan with if he didn't put George Herbert Walker Bush on. Do you have any concerns about your safety?
Well, yeah, when I get in a car and when I get in airplanes, I mean, just normal life provides dangers to us. People urged me to be cautious in the last campaign, and I didn't change things a whole lot. You can go through life being intimidated, but I think, being a little more cautious is wise, but I don't peek around every corner.
Well, certainly you're bold and have a lot of courage. My point is, clearly the global banking establishment, if it really looks like you're going to become president, which is now in the realm of serious reality, certainly these people are known for bombing countries that don't have central banks they run.
Yeah. Did you see where they set up a central bank with the radicals and with the rebels in Libya? First thing they did, we got a couple of rebels out here. We need a central bank. That isn't insane.
Well, we're almost out of time with you, yeah. Congressman. I've got a few other questions for you.
We have about 3 minutes. I think we can do them.
Okay, great. So they have rung the bell now.
Yeah.
Congressman Jesse Ventura was on here yesterday, former governor. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard his announcement that if you leave the Republican Party, he'd be happy to be your VP running mate. If you run for president, well, is it going to be as a Republican?
As of now, that's mainly what I've been thinking of. But I guess in life, you should always keep all options open. But right now, I'm still a Republican congressman, and we did it last time as a Republican. And, there's a lot of people who get mixed messages from that because Republicans don't always stand for liberty, as you know. I parties are somewhat irrelevant to me. You know, whether I'm an independent, Republican, or Libertarian, I think there are vehicles for delivering a message. So right now, I am working within the Republican Party.
Congressman, looking at the TSA, are there plans on congressional hearings? Multiple states are moving to try to bar the TSA, sticking their hands down people's pants, baking people in radiation microwaves. What are you doing to try to reverse that?
Well, one thing is that I feed a lot of information to Jason Chaffetz, who's the chairman of that subcommittee, and he is hot on that issue. He's a very good congressman. And he is outraged over it, as we all should be. And I think if people have examples, the bad examples, of it, that always helps. You know, visuals and pictures or anything, if they can either send it to him directly or to me, I think we can make use of that as a weapon because there will be hearings on this.
All right. In closing, building up towards an announcement to run for president, my gut tells me you're going to do it, sir, because you understand it's just too important to get the word out. What can listeners and Liberty supporters do to start getting their engines warmed up to give you the maximum support out of the gates when and if you make this announcement?
Well, in a couple of weeks, I think it's April 19th, I have another little book coming out. That might be a time for an explosion of interest. And the book does not make money for me. It goes into my foundation. But it's a message. It's a book talking about 50 issues dealing with, and it's called Liberty Defined. And coinciding that with an announcement could be interesting, even though those plans have not been made to do such. But it's something that people could be looking at.
Well, the day you announce we're going to try to set up a money bomb, so and we'll poke, you know, focus people over towards the Campaign for Liberty when that happens.
Well, I have to think about that. It might have to be a political side. Campaign for Liberty is not political, so you can't do. But you can do something.
That would be the congressional coffers. Then, well, sir, thank you so much for spending time with us. Go to your vote, and God bless you, and Godspeed.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Congressman Ron Paul. We went a little bit into that break there. And, John, you think we should just fire a network break here in 15 seconds, play the last 2 minutes, or is that impossible? Yeah, well, you want to go ahead and fire the break, and we'll come back in 2 minutes? All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Infowars.com. Coming out of the break, I want to play a short clip of Jesse Ventura last night with Piers Corbett on CNN. And if you watch the full clip, because I've seen the full interview, actually listened to it in my car driving home last night at about 10 on XM, Jesse just savaged him with info after, but they cut it off to make it look like Ventura was speechless. So I want to go over some of the real evidence of 9/11 being an inside job. But before we do that, I just want to go back to the Ron Paul live interview that we just did. Think about him in Congress 16 years ago, not getting one co-sponsor to audit the Fed. Last year, they passed it in the House. The Senate defeated it procedurally and gutted it. Think about Ron Paul being laughed at for talking about dollar devaluation 3 years ago. Now he's not being laughed at. He is ubiquitous across TV, radio, and everybody I talk to, even liberals, like what he has to say, and conservatives love him. He really could become president, but the media, even when he won the straw poll 2 years in a row, would then talk about every other candidate but him. In newscasts, they talk about second, third, fourth place, but not tell you who won the Kentucky Derby of Republican straw polls, with the real Republican leadership there giving him standing ovations. Instead, they go over with a microphone to one small crowd in a staged event and have them boo, and then put that on the news. They couldn't pull it off this year, so they played old video from 2000 and, what was it, 2009, the year before. So they know what they're doing. They're engaging in deception, and they're going to push this idea that Ron Paul can't win. Now, listen. We got to go with the 9th and 10th Amendment. We got to take our states back, our school boards, our city councils, our county commissioners, our town councils. That's where you come in. That's where I come in. All of us together who are on the same team wanting freedom for our children and ourselves and our future. But the war is now. The fight for freedom's here. Everything we've talked about is now unfolding. The world government's openly being announced as the solution. So people that still try to laugh about world government, they're idiots. Just move on. Okay? They're not living in reality. They basically are engaged in delusions. They want to be conned. Cognitive dissidence. They're in their little comfort bubble, and they have this normalcy prejudice where I heard Glenn Beck talking about something today that I actually talk about a lot myself, and it's true about how people on board the Titanic just said, we're going back to our rooms. There's no way the ship's going to sink. Or people on 9/11 going back to turn their computer off while the towers were burning or going to turn the lights off and then never getting out. They just can't believe something bad's happening, so they live in total denial. It's time to get out of that denial. It's time to really historically and geopolitically get informed. And if you're not informed about this, you're a new listener, you're smart. You know all about baseball scores or all about your favorite TV shows. Stop being experts in that. Become experts in reality. Live in reality. Be involved. And understand that we're in a fight for our lives right now. The globalists have never been weaker, but they've never been stronger. They're rolling forward with their programs, and they're weak if we simply point out the crimes they've committed and the different things that they've done. It's that simple. Our credibility is rising. Their credibility is dropping. They know that. They're scared. They're concerned. They're going to try to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. We've got to get in there. And it doesn't mean you've got to save the world by yourself, but spreading the word about Ron Paul, spreading the word about our free podcast or the local AM and FM stations you're listening to, spreading the word about my books, my videos, the videos that are online, prisonplanet.tv. Pick the talk show host, the authors, the statesmen like Ron Paul who have a track record of accurate info and who are winners in the fight for liberty. And understand that Rome wasn't built in a day. We're not going to defeat the New World Order in a day. It is a process of having the moral high ground, having the information, and taking action and realizing that it's your destiny to make a choice. It's your destiny that you have free will. And to decide if you're going to step up to the plate and be part of the solution and be on the field in this historical fight. Against the collectivist, against the mega rich that use big government to consolidate wealth and domesticate the population. As we go into this depression, the hordes of people on government payrolls or government contracts or welfare, and that's the defense contractor people and the welfare queens, all of them, the teachers, the banksters, they don't see it as a choice. This is their livelihood. Their pensions have already been stolen. And the globalists are going to sick them on what's left of America, blaming liberty and freedom for what's happened when it's the opposite. No one can deny we're losing freedom. No one can deny the fruits of this tyranny are extremely painful and destructive. And so now is the time to shout from the rooftops, the church tops, the mountaintops, the hilltops. Now is the time to start your own audio blog, your own YouTube channel. Now is the time to spread the word. Now is the time to organize. Now is the time to knock on doors and get the buzz going that there's a resistance to this. The buzz is there, but we've got to accelerate it and intensify it and redouble our efforts. We'll be right back.
I can answer perhaps from my brother, who's a British Army colonel. And when I discussed WikiLeaks with him, he says that the impact of releasing private memos, private reports from the military when they're in operations is incredibly dangerous.
All right, go to my book. Sure,
I believe you agree with that.
I agree with that. But go to my book and see. Currently, our government every year declares 16 million things top secret.
Mm-hmm.
16 million.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's about everything. So what do we get to know about?
But my point,
wait,
Jesse,
my point is, when they're abusing what's secret by classifying everything they do, the public can't see. Read in the back of the book what some of the great founders of this country said about secretive government.
Did you believe it was in the public interest that WikiLeaks revealed, for example, that Colonel Gaddafi had four mistresses?
I could care less how many women Colonel Gaddafi has.
No, but do you think, is it in the public interest to reveal that information?
I don't know. It's gossip. Doesn't bother me.
But when you were governor, you hated that kind of gossip against you and your family. In fact, you detested the media that spread any kind of gossip about
your family. They didn't spread gossip about my family.
They did about your son, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they trumped up charges on
him. But what I'm saying is that kind of family gossip, private life stuff, isn't that where the line should be drawn with WikiLeaks? Why do you support everything they put out there?
Given that
you were so vocal about any private material coming out about you.
Then why is it okay for them to expose my private stuff?
I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying if you felt strongly that your private life was your private life, however much you think badly of Colonel Gaddafi,
somebody had to write about it,
why,
didn't they?
Why is Gaddafi's private life public interest?
What you're at here is a classic example of killing the messenger, not the message. If it wasn't written in the first place, there'd be no message, would there? So somebody wrote it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they be the ones who have put America in danger?
The ones who wrote it? No, because the whole point of being a diplomat is that when you report to your governments around the world... Wait, let me finish.
We're in sad shape when diplomats have to sit and lie, when they have to write things that people aren't allowed to read, and if they do read, they take offense to. Well, I would say that's part of the big problems of the world today.
Which were the lies in WikiLeaks?
I don't know.
You just said they were lying.
I didn't say they were lying.
You said it's a sad day when diplomats lie. Where were they lying?
I'm saying when they're saying bad things about other people. They wrote it.
But they weren't
all it was exposed.
And my point was that it may not be lies, Jesse.
So in other words, Piers, you figure let government keep everything secret.
No.
It's all okay.
No.
It's all okay.
No,
because somebody in government has deemed this
top secret. But
so therefore, hands off.
I don't.
Because we don't dare know.
Okay.
Don't put words in my mouth.
That's the clip about secrecy. There's another clip up on CNN where he says, well, you've got a conspiracy theory that the government was involved in 9/11. And he says, did George Bush blow up the towers? Did George Bush know? And he says, no. But Dick Cheney had knowledge of it. And, of course, Ventura's book has the stand-down orders signed in June 1st, where they took the shoot-down power for the first time in modern history away from the military. It was their default to shoot down aircraft. And they just told him, hey, that's the way it is. And then days after 9/11, they gave the power back. And then Corbyn, on the CNN clip they put on the web, cuts it off there, and Ventura can never respond. But Ventura went on to talk about how Norman Panetta was in the bunker and watched Cheney, saying the order still stands to basically not shoot down the aircraft. And Ventura went over, and it's in his book. I'm trying to find it right now. He also went over the order itself that we have a copy of months before, saying to the military, you can't shoot down aircraft now. Before they had that default position, if one was hijacked or going to be flown into a building, they said that you have the default to do that. Just like with Payne Stewart, they had the authorization already set to do it if need be. But they tied their hands. In fact, let me just get the actual page of this. It's page 216 in his new book, by the way, that's available at Infowars.com. Page 216. And I'll show folks a document cam shot of that. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff instruction. Aircraft piracy, hijacking, and destruction of derelict airborne objects. And in the cancellation of the document that was in place and then reauthorized in 97, but in place in, when NORAD was set up in 1957. It goes on to cancel CJCSI3610.01 that authorized and had the default position for the Pentagon under NORAD control to shoot down any aircraft that were planned to be used as weapons or that were derelict and going to be crashing into population centers. That's why they followed Payne Stewart's plane just a few months before 9/11 and followed it for a long period of time with their AIM-9 Sidewinder missiles ready. But when it was going into a rural area in a cornfield, they made the decision not to shoot it down. They didn't need to get a Dick Cheney authorization. But on that morning, Dick Cheney was there in control, not just signing this order June 1st and giving it to Rumsfeld months before 9/11, but he was there that morning in control in the bunker to make sure and to say, no, the order still stands. But let's go ahead now and play that Ventura 9/11 clip. Here it is.
Let's move to 9/11. Your theory of 9/11 is what?
My theory of 9/11 is that we certainly, at best, we knew it was going to happen. They allowed it to happen to further their agenda in the Middle East and go to these wars.
So just to clarify, President George Bush knew that 9/11 was going to happen, that 3,000 people were going to get murdered.
They had all the information. If you looked at the NSA documents, put it to you this way. The August 6th memo was pretty clear.
Yeah, but do you genuinely believe, Jesse Ventura, that President George W. Bush knew 9/11 was going to happen?
No.
Why do you say it then?
No.
Well, why do you say it?
But I believe Dick Cheney knew it.
Really?
Yep.
You believe he knew it was going to happen?
I believe they had a good... Well, why did John Ashcroft quit flying commercial planes that summer and switch only to private planes? Why did that happen?
You don't honestly believe these people knew. I don't believe you believe that. You don't honestly think Dick Cheney knew it was going to happen. You can't do.
Do you really believe Piers... It's not irrational.
Excuse me.
Do you really believe that evil people can't be in charge of governments? If you do, go talk to the Germans. They know a little about that, that evil people can get in charge. The governments are run by people.
Governments.
People can be bad.
So Dick Cheney is involved. Ashcroft's involved. All these people got together and planned. Come on. It's madness.
Oh, that's madness. But you'll fully accept that 19 Islamic radicals armed with box cutters taking orders from a guy in a cave in Afghanistan could defeat our multi-billion dollar air defense system, which the Russians couldn't do.
Jesse, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Really?
Unfortunately, they exposed a massive flaw in Homeland Security.
And what was it?
The flaw was that these guys had been training and often aiming to go one way, aiming to land planes in a certain manner. In fact, not even land them. Wanted to take off but not land. All these were clues that this was a weird set of circumstances. I'm afraid that's exactly what happened. And the trouble being a conspiracy theorist, and I've got great respect for you, and your book's very readable. The problem is, once you start buying into these theories, you never stop. And with the internet these days, there's a theory about everything.
So they don't let Ventura respond there. They just let Piers Corbin have the final word. Ladies and gentlemen, FBI agents in Phoenix, in Florida, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, in San Diego, all said these guys are wanting to basically hijack planes and fly them in the World Trade Center. That was in a memo. And the FBI agents were then reprimanded for continuing their investigations. Now, who were the hijackers? Well, I have Newsweek. I have Associated Press confirming. I have the dean of the Defense Language School, the colonel, came out and said, these guys trained at my school. These guys were government agents. I don't know exactly what happened, but they were trained at military bases and they were trained at my school. See, that's what Ventura has in his book. He's got the stand down orders. He's got things like Northwoods and Tonkin where they staged events or talked about staging events. It's in an Army field manual that WikiLeaks put out 4 years ago that the Pentagon admits is real. They want to prosecute whoever released it, where they teach Army captains in black ops how to stage terror. I mean, it's been declassified in Vietnam that our military early on when they were advisors in 60, 61, 2, 3, the CIA would stage terror attacks. Graham Greene in The Quiet American put it in the fictional account in his book, but that's a true story. That's how they get this stuff out, past the censors. They do this. Hitler did it. The Russians do it. The Czars did it before the communists. This is the oldest trick in the book. Nero didn't like the Christians. He burned part of Rome and blamed it on them and then rounded them up and killed them. It's a frame-up. You ever heard of a frame-up? It's like somebody, let's say somebody, you know, this happens in business all the time, doesn't like you in your office. So they put marijuana in your cabinet, in your file cabinet, and then tattle on you. I mean, you don't understand. I mean, it's been declassified, actually leaked, and they admitted it was accurate. The White House memo, the Downing Street memos, 2002. George W. Bush in meetings with Tony Blair saying, look, we're already going in. We got to fix the intelligence. I don't care if there's not WMDs. We've got to lie. And they lied about WMDs and that he was going to try to nuke England and could nuke England within 45 minutes. And they lied about anthrax and said it was made in a bathtub somewhere. It turned out it was the most weaponized U.S. anthrax, so weaponized it wasn't even known to exist and part of a secret Fort Detrick program. Then they tried to frame four patsies. The fourth patsy wouldn't play along, so they took him and drugged him and killed him. And it was a minor footnote that the last guy, who they wouldn't even give a trial, killed himself in a mental institution with over-the-counter Tylenol. And then Dr. David Kelly, the head of the British inspectors, comes out, tells his friends, they've told me they're going to kill me and put me in the woods if I don't shut up. A week later, he's found dead. The police come up and four men in black uniforms run away from the dead body. This is in the British news. And his wrists are slit with no blood. And they say he died from that with no blood there. And all these top doctors that have who examined him said, no, he was killed. No blood. And he had two undissolved pills in his stomach that they'd crammed down his throat after they'd killed him. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he said they're going to kill me. And people still say, oh, no, he wasn't killed. And it's taken 6-7 years now for over 80% of the Brits to believe he was murdered. Diana, a month before she was killed, gave a videotape to her butler. This is in the British news saying Charles told me he's going to kill me in a fake auto accident. Month later, she's dead in a fake auto accident. They keep her there because she wasn't dead in the accident for 45 minutes while they attended to her and then drove slowly to the hospital and she was dead on arrival. Then she didn't just trust her butler. She gave to friends written letters saying, Charles said he's going to kill me. This would be like if I got on air and said, this person says they're going to kill me this way, and then I'm killed that way. People say, oh, no, he died in an automobile accident. That's how dumb they think you are. And, I mean, to go over the evidence at 9-11, we cover it in my film, Martial Law, 911, Martial Law, 911, Rise of the Police State. We cover it in my film, Terror Storm, History of Government-Sponsored Terror. We cover it at nauseam. In Road to Tyranny, all these films, we break it down, but not just 9-11, all these other events. And we told you the Patriot Act would be used against citizens. We told you, and now it is. We told you TSA would start being on the streets. Now they are, because they told us they would do all of this. And Ventura has a lot of courage. I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with the arguments I've had with him in private that, well, I haven't seen God, and why would God let all these bad things happen? And so... But I know he's a real guy who really is bona fide. I mean, I know him personally. I spent a lot of private time with him. He's real, and that's got to be admired. It takes a lot of courage for him to get up and say, yeah, Dick Cheney was involved. Now, Corbin never let him get into his evidence, but it's all covered in the book, Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, available at Infowars.com. We've got combo deals with this book where you can get one of my best-selling films for free when you order the book at Infowars.com, along with Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, with Mark Dice and his great work. And please support alternative media. Now, we've got coming up in the last 30 minutes of the next hour, the Liberty Dollar head, Bernard von Nahaus, who I've interviewed many years. He's now been convicted of creating a counterfeit currency, though he publicly said, this is silver, I think we should start bartering in it, the Federal Reserve note is a fraud and bad. So that'd be like if you opened a hamburger place called Bob's and somebody else had a hamburger place called David's, and you advertised that your burgers were bigger and juicier than David's, and then David went after you for copyright infringement saying the name Bob is David. I mean, you know, the whole point is the entire move by the Liberty Dollar over 15 years was to say the dollar's being devalued, get into silver and gold. And you've got countless mints. You've got state governments getting ready to issue their own silver and gold. And you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to engage in barter. But this is a big court case. And they said in the court case, I have the AP, that he was a terrorist. And the Southern Poverty Law Center ran out and said, yes, he's a terrorist, he's horrible, he's bad, he deserves it. So it's now terrorism. And you heard Peter Schiff in the first hour saying this is a move against alternative, real silver and gold-backed currencies because the dollar's plunging today. Oil has had its super spike that is now intensifying. Gold skyrocketed, silver skyrocketed. To give us the numbers as we go to break, Ted, where is silver and gold right now?
Well, hang on a second. Let me just refresh here real quick. Okay, silver hit a high today of 39.25. Gold hit a high of 14.55. Silver currently right now 39.14. Gold is at 14.51.50. So very strong. I mean, for Ben Bernanke to come out and say there's no inflation except for in commodities, which, I mean, what else do people need? We need our food. We need our shelter, clothing. I mean, it's just absolutely asinine what he's coming up with here to say that we don't have problems. I mean, obviously there's big problems. I mean, Portugal is going so far down the way that the insurance to cover Portugal.
Now they're saying Spain's going down. And again, what's the answer? Give the bankers trillions of European and American tax money. That's what Bernanke for years fought, was that most of our trillions of dollars of taxpayer money went to Europe, and then private corporations like MSNBC, at the time owned by General Electric, and the head of General Electric now is the head of the Economic Council, getting waivers for all his coal plants and shutting down his competition, and Obama's people get waivers on not having to buy insurance. So that'll shut down their competition. I mean, this is total lawless criminality. And now they're saying, hey, we might want to go after people that have gold and silver. Well, you know what? Great. You don't just give into that fear. You know you get the gold and silver because they're starting to creep towards going after it. But you heard Ron Paul earlier in the hour. He said they're not going to get our gold and silver. Let me tell you a little story. My mom's grandfather owned a car dealership in Dallas. He didn't turn his gold in. We'll be right back. He told Roosevelt, take a hike. One small correction. This is the type of mistakes I make. I always get names crossed. It's not Norman Panetta. It's Norman Moneta was the head of transportation and witnessed Cheney's stand down. We're going back to Ted Anderson, and then I'm going to open the phones up for the first 30 minutes of the next hour with a lot of key news ahead of Mr. Nuthaus joining us to talk about his conviction for evil silver dollars. Up at GCNlive.com, guess whose wife owns a chain of clinics specializing in drug tests? We're going to be breaking that down later in the next hour, and then the government's pushing to make you get those drug tests. Also, Jesse Ventura exposes a 911 stand-down order. Steve Watson's latest article at GCNlive.com. Why did the Fed bail out the Bank of Libya? GCNlive.com. U.S. companies shrink packages as food prices rise. Ron Paul was talking about that earlier, and so was Schiff. That's GCNlive.com. EPA to raise limits on radiation exposure while Canada turns off fallout detectors. That's at GCNlive.com. Ron Paul, the Fed undermines policy. That's at GCNlive.com. And a lot more. Going back to Ted Anderson, and we're going to cover some of that news coming up in the next hour in more detail. Ted, look, I called you this morning and I said, listen, you're offering three silver dollars, and with silver at $39, what's three times 39, that's almost $120, and most places they're going for 44 because there's got to be markup added. A lot of these have numismatic value. In fact, the ones you have do as well. And you get the free shipping in three of my films. That's got over $170 value for $110. But you did, this is silver you bought when it was lower. You are about to sell out. You're extending it one more day. It'll go up a little in the next few days, still be a great deal. But tell folks about the different specials you've got, Ted.
Well, that's just it. I mean, your Endgame video, everybody's wanting to know what's going on with the Fed. Get Endgame, and you get three of those videos. That's one of them, and you get three silver dollars to go with it. I mean, obviously, Alex, I can't keep selling this stuff at 110 delivered. And, you know, silver dollars are trading well over $40 a piece. They cost me a lot more than that to buy. I just, you know, I need to say, if you're procrastinating, my gosh, get into silver and get into it now. I mean, the commodity prices are rising. Gold, $1,455.30. I mean, the franc coin at 311 and getting a full year subscription to the International Forecaster. I mean, it's like going back to $600 gold. That's a really good
buy.
But
I mean, Ted, just to be clear, though, you're selling these coins at basically $31 a piece, and silver is where today?
Well, silver right now is trading at 3,39.21. It's seen a high today of 39.25.
Okay, so these are silver dollars selling everywhere else $40, $42, $44. You're selling them for $31 a piece with the free shipping on top and the three films on top. So that's over $170 value for $110. Here's the number, folks, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. You also have the $20 value, Creature from Jekyll Island. Even if you already know all about the Federal Reserve, folks, give it to somebody because you're getting the silver dollar at below cost with a free book on top. How much is that deal?
Yeah, well, $31, I mean, just do the math. I mean, the book itself, if you go to Barnes & Noble, you're going to pay $24 for the book. Silver dollars right now are over $40. I mean, it's simple. We're delivering them for $31. I need to change that, but I've got commercials running all across the United States. And frankly, I'm so impassioned by trying to bring down the Fed, I feel like I should just keep doing it.
Yeah, I'll just
be
honest. I mean, Midas has a lot of great deals, but internally, the brokers think you're crazy. And I know why you're doing this. You shot a national TV ad a year ago, and the deal was good then. Now it's a bad deal. You're going to have to pull those TV ads. You're going to have to stop this, Ted. But it's still going today. 800-686-2237. There's a whole list of radio specials on gold, silver, silver half dollars, fifth ounce gold coins, ounce coins, maple Leafs, Buffaloes. There's a whole list. Tell them it's the Radio Alex Jones special to get the lower prices. Even if you got the regular price, it's very competitive. But these deals are, well, they're insanely good. 800-686-2237. Get silver at below spot, like $8 below spot, with free shipping and videos.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, the toll-free number to join us on air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We've got Bernard von Nuttas joining us, the proprietor for over a decade and a half of the Liberty Dollar. How dare him create a competing currency, who openly said we're a competing currency to the dollar. It's being devalued. They went and charged him with counterfeiting, found an idiot group of people, or not even idiots, just totally uninformed, who thought that it was counterfeit to issue your own silver coins, which is totally legal. And he's going to prison, it looks like. And they're trying to confiscate $7 million in silver and gold from him, which people, some of them had it on deposit with him. You can keep it there. So there's the government robbing everybody. And they first tried to raid him thinking he wouldn't have enough to for his deposits, like a bank does with fractional reserve banking, where they'll have, $1 for every 10 they loan out. Turned out he had enough and more. So they said, well, we can't get sued for this. Let's just go ahead and get a jury together. In fact, guys, this has happened a lot the last few years. I want to have it when Nuttas joins us. Search the term man arrested for using $2 bills in Best Buy. That's one I can remember. Another guy was arrested at a putt-putt golf facility for using $2 bills. $2 bill has a Declaration of Independence on the back. I've got a group of them framed that my parents bought me at the U.S. Mint when they visited it once. They sell them unchopped, and it's framed, with the Declaration of Independence being signed on the back. And let me tell you, you use that, you're going to jail, because you walk into Best Buy with money. And, I mean, people I've seen, I had a friend, Chris Athanas, who would walk around with Liberty Dollars, tell people about silver currency at UT. And he was trying to tell people about it at UT, and they thought it was illegal, and they called the cops over. He was on the edge of UT and downtown, and he had a concealed carry, the permit, big software programmer, wealthy guy. And they sent him to prison. And, they came because of the silver, and then they said, oh, you got a fanny pack with a gun? He goes, yeah. And they said, well, you're 1,000 feet from UT. We're going to go ahead and get you for that. And the cop did his duty and took him to jail and taught him and his family, taught him real good. I hadn't seen Chris in years. I know he did a stint in jail. But that's what happens. Oh, we can't get you for this silver coin? Remember the video? In fact, we ought to cue this up and play it. And I know we posted it on Infowars.com about 2 weeks ago. I know we have it saved. I never played it on air. We ought, after we take calls and introduce Nuttas, we ought to play that minute or two clip of him with a $1,400 1 ounce gold coin, American Eagle. In fact, face value $50 under the U.S. Mint. And he goes and has got two tacos at Taco Bell. Tries to give her a gold coin, and she says, I don't want this. He says, so you don't want $1,400? He said, no, I want the $2. And he said, okay, here's $2. She said, I love it. And maybe Dice deserves to be sent to prison. Of course, it was legal tender, actual U.S. issued gold, but it doesn't matter, folks. They can find a jury to send you to jail. And so we're going to go to break and come back and go to Greg, Angie, John, Adam, Tim, and others, a few segments of calls. Then we'll play that Mark Dice clip. Ahead of Nuttas joining us after this quick break, and I do have some other news that we're going to be hitting on as well. And the Obama administration's moving ahead with government shutdown plans, and in the month of March, they outspent what they had budgeted 8.5 times. But that doesn't matter, because they've got people held hostage through their pension funds. The big banks always saying, give us more taxes, give us more money, or we won't pay you your pensions. And so they'll basically go out and protest, demand taxes get raised, and then that money won't be spent for their pensions. It'll be stolen. But they're ignorant, so the people perish for lack of knowledge. But your phone calls, we come back after this quick break, and then we have the head of Liberty Dollar, now I guess headed to prison. Maybe one of the last times we talked to him for a while, because he dared issue silver coins publicly for 15 years and talk bad about the Federal Reserve. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio
Network. Okay, taking your phone calls, and then we have Bernard von Nuttas joining us, who headed up the Liberty Dollar for 15 years, convicted in court of counterfeiting. publicly said it was private silver currency, openly to compete with the fiat currency. They found a jury that didn't know their head from a hole in the ground, and he has been convicted. Now they're trying to seize $7 million in gold and silver. That is coming up. We had Ron Paul on earlier and, of course, Peter Schiff. Jam-packed transmission today. Great job to the crew and producers. Let's go to your phone calls. Greg in Missouri, you're on the air. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, sir. Two quick questions for you.
Yes.
Okay, my first question. Now, obviously, I heard you with Ron Paul earlier. You're very optimistic about his prospects of announcing a presidential run.
Oh, he's going to announce, don't worry. Mm-hmm. You heard it. The next month, he's going to be saying one way or the other, and he's already going to a debate. Look, he's going to announce for president unless he has health problems.
He's already made all the overtures. I mean, it's pretty much a done deal. But my question was to you, let's say, hypothetically, that it didn't happen. Would there be anywhere to turn to otherwise, any other alternative?
Yeah, we fight on all fronts. We're going to take our counties, our states back, 9th and 10th Amendment. We're going to help people rediscover the Bill of Rights and Constitution, the liberty culture enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, the kickoff, the spirit of 1776. We're going to continue with lawsuits against government-run health care that's totally illegal to bring us basically death care and the death panels they now admit and that Bill Gates admits and says is great and that Newsweek promotes. We're going to fight them on every front, and we're going to win.
Absolutely, sir.
Ron Paul is going to win, even if he loses. He's going to get probably 10 times the coverage and attention in the debates and everywhere that he got 3 years ago. Can you imagine? Look, he probably won't win. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a major issue. You think he almost got the Fed abolished and audited and abolished earlier? Think of the power this movement's going to have now. Think of how many people are going to get awakened to liberty. It's already the hottest movement. Look, 3-4 years ago, Bilderberg was worried about Ron Paul before he even ran. We got that from inside Bilderberg at Ottawa. We got it the next year. They are scared to death because they want to just give you fake liberal or fake conservative. It's a controlled paradigm. They only fight with each other over the power levers. Instead, now we're talking about the New World Order. A guy is about to run for president who is winning the major polls for president, so the media is trying to ignore him. A guy who's basically like a statesman like Alex Jones is about to get massive attention again. I mean, this is win, win, win. He cannot lose. Even if he loses, we win.
Absolutely. Okay, one other question for you if you got time.
Sure.
Okay, I don't know if you've ever addressed this on your show before, but as a college student, I'm required to read writings by people like Michael Shermer and other so-called skeptics. I wanted you to, if you've got a minute, real quick, give me how you feel about those type of people that love to try to debunk so-called...
Well, look, all the so-called debunkers of 9/11 truth and people that, I mean, just 10 years ago, they said that the Federal Reserve wasn't private, that there wasn't a plan for a global currency, and they just sit there making jokes, playing to the lowest common denominator. Or they build straw men, they debunk people like myself by going to folks that are conspiracy theorists and make things up. They call you a conspiracy theorist if you question this being a war, and they say, no, it's not a war, don't be a conspiracy theorist. I appreciate your call. I mean, I read to you last week the quotes of Karl Rove saying, oh, we call you people that know that we lied about WMDs the reality community. You're right. But it doesn't matter. We control reality, and we'll change it day to day, and you don't count. Now, he's trying to buffalo you. He's saying resistance is futile like the Borg. No, resistance is not futile. We don't have a choice. So Cass Sunstein can say arrest people that don't believe in anthropogenic global warming. So what? He's losing the debate on every front. We have the facts. I mean, it's all over every major medical institution that 20 minutes of direct sunlight a day massively reduces all different sorts of cancers. He says it's a conspiracy theory that sun is good for you. They want to be able to tell you through political correctness what you can and can't say. Okay? I mean, it's that simple. So I don't care about these debunkers whose websites might get 1,000 visitors a day. We get 1 million, conservatively. 3 million listeners. In the market of ideas, we're winning. So what if they prop these guys up on TV to sit around and laugh at us? I laugh at you, punk. I'm not talking about Greg. I'm talking about folks you mentioned. Angie in North Carolina, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Alex. I just wanted to touch on three things really quick. The Piers Morgan and Jesse Ventura interview, you know, they're always quick to say that it's absurd and ridiculous. But, you know, it seems like it doesn't often get pointed out, well, who benefited from 9/11?
Key Bono. But, again, I'm glad you mentioned that. They never give any facts. They just give words like absurd, conspiracy theory, ridiculous. That's their proof.
Right.
It doesn't matter if we have the cops saying, get back, they're going to blow up Building 7, and newscasts saying it. Then they blow it up and say, we didn't say we'd blow it up. We're like, here's the video of you doing it. It falls in free fall. We can see the blast points. They're like, no, you don't see that. I mean, for 8 years, NIST said that it didn't fall at free fall. Now they've had to admit it did. So, again, that's all they've got is, you're an idiot, you're dumb, this is stupid, there is no global government, the dollar's not devalued, there is no inflation, this isn't a war, we don't have ground troops in Libya, but we do. I'm sorry, Angie, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It also goes back to, the decision to not rebuild the towers. I believe that that's kind of an ongoing psyop that leaves people in the, the post 9/11 devastated or traumatized frame of mind, and it makes it easier for them to push through all of this illegal legislation and for them to take away our rights.
But that's a conspiracy theory. They're not taking your rights. People always say, where's the martial law, Alex? Well, they're taking people's pension funds, public and private, outside law. The big banks are allowed to launder hundreds of billions a year in drug money and not get in trouble. The police are being federalized with threat fusion centers spying on Ron Paul and myself. That's in the Associated Press. They're breaking all these laws. We're being eased into an autocratic system, but they're not going to announce it. Gaddafi didn't call it martial law when he was running around shooting people. He called it security. And so they're like, where's the crisis? Where's the problem? Where's the bad economy, Alex? We say it's good. But see, they've only got the weakest minded people, Angie, buying into what they say.
Exactly. And one more quick thing. You talk often about how Google and other companies can actually tap into your computer microphone and camera. And I have a real quick way that people can prove to themselves that they're doing it just that, and it's happening to them right now. And if you right-click on any video on YouTube, it's going to bring up a menu of options. And if you go down to the settings, you right-click on a video, you go down to settings, and a little screen will come up, Adobe Flash Player Settings, and you'll have to click on the little options on the bottom. It's the second option, and a privacy screen will come up, and it says allow SYTIMG.com, which is the Adobe Flash Player, to access your camera and microphone. And if you don't know to actually click on deny, then likely they are accessing your camera and microphone.
No, Angie, great point. I've been on a couple national radio shows. I do interviews every day. And they'll say, what's the evidence of police state? And I go, well, Homeland Security has blimps up over every major city at above 100,000 feet that are solar powered watching you. And they laugh at me. And I go, just type Homeland Security blimp in. They admit it. MSNBC, you name it. And they just laugh because it's fun to laugh. And I'll say, well, you saw in Philadelphia, they gave out thousands of laptops watching the kids in their beds and their showers. And they go, no, they didn't. And they laugh at me. And I go, but that's all over the news. And then I say, okay, well, we wrote an article 6 years ago at prisonplanet.com off the press release of Google announcing to their board of directors and stockholders that they were now tapping into cameras and microphones. But they said, don't worry, a person isn't listening or watching, a computer is. And if they hear a dog bark, then you'll have geolocated dog food ads pop up. Or we'll listen to what sitcom you're watching and then put ads up for that. I mean, this was a press release from Google.com. I mean, and I tell people on mainline talk radio, and they just go, oh, the Martian's going to get me next, Alex? And I'm like, no, this is being done. I remember 8-9 years ago, TiVo, in press releases, admitted that they were tracking what you watch and what you do and selling your psychological breakdown to advertisers. It's two-way. And then Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction, TiVo said, we had 2.2 million replays in 5 minutes in the Chicago Tribune. People said, well, how do you do that? I mean, it's people fully living in denial. I mean, I've got articles out of Tennessee, articles out of California, articles out of Pennsylvania, articles out of Florida, with cameras in the school showers watching the children at the police department. And then I'm the bad man for reading the articles on air because the local news will report it like it's good. Or school districts all over watching kids over their laptops. I mean, I was speaking to a crowd a few months ago in Santa Cruz, and some of them kind of looked and shook their heads like they didn't believe me. I could see the crowd when I talked about Pennsylvania and watching the kids over the laptops because they hadn't heard about it. It's like if I mentioned today multiple companies coming out with milk that's human milk because they've re-engineered the genetics of the cow's udders and all the genetic problems that can cause. And I just mentioned that, and I guarantee other people driving along don't believe that. Doesn't matter if it's London Telegraph, Reuters. Just they're like, that isn't possible. And I see the news articles. You know, they'll pick and choose. Jones is crazy. He talks about part spider, part goats. He talks about world government. He talks about population reduction. He talks about corrupt elites. Huh, this guy's crazy. And they never give the footnotes or links to everything I'm saying on record. I mean, your pension funds are already gone. They're just getting you ready to hear you're not going to be getting them. And that's been announced. 43 states are bankrupt. The feds are bankrupt. To the banks that engineered this. They made the money up out of nothing. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us. And we've got our guests joining us, Blake, Gator, Tim, and others. Stay with us. The websites are prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com. All right, we're going to jam in a few more calls ahead of our guests joining us. But I just wanted to add that being a conspiracy theorist means believing anything the government says might not be true. Questioning anything, thinking for yourself, means you're a conspiracy theorist. Now, there are people who think the earth is hollow and populated by mole men. They are conspiracy theorists. In that wide spectrum of alternative thought, there are people that believe things that have no proof. But when I get up here and talk about real issues and historical things that are happening, just look at the track record and how we document 99% of what we discuss here. It's just that, you know, I get up here 3 months ago when it's in Texas news. We'd reported it before. People didn't really believe it, even though we had medical experts on that they're putting radioactive isotopes in municipal water supplies because it's mined in the same deposits to get the fluoride. Now it's in the news here in Texas and other states that the feds and state are covering it up. But still, people have this comfort zone where they don't want to admit that's going on because they might have to do something. You know, you're putting radiation that causes sterilization and cancer in my water. I better go down to the city council and get angry. And you go down there and they laugh at you. Well, then you sue them. You go down there with the news articles and say, don't laugh, punk. And let me tell you, the Austin council isn't laughing now. You know, this whole con artist thing where they just laugh at you and pat you on the head. Yeah, it's extreme. They're putting this in our water. It's hard to believe, but it's true. What are we going to do about it? See, I'm red-blooded. I'm nothing special, folks. I'm just a red-blooded guy like anybody else. And you punch me in the nose or you try to overtax me or you try to poison me, I'm going to get angry and I'm going to stand up to you. That's just being red-blooded. But being red-blooded is a conspiracy theorist. Being informed is a conspiracy theorist. Being involved in reality, it doesn't work anymore. Let's go to John in Michigan. You're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
I got three things for you. The first is a quote for Karl Rove, and that is, the lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie.
Yeah, well, that was a Nazi said that, wasn't it?
Yep. Goebbels.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to back you up on, last week you covered for a second, there's a threat of nuclear bombs across the country, and you pointed out, like, there's no way for that to happen without those being seen.
No, it's all part of the fear. They said Al-Qaeda buried 160 bombs, and they took it serious.
Well, in 2008, there's a story, the Seattle Times covered it, and Keith Olbermann covered it. You can find the video on YouTube. Just Google worst person, Michael Chertoff, Walmart, Lindsey Graham. And there's a story about a guy who got pulled over for having a cat that went through chemotherapy. And he passed by some sensor, and they isolated an isotope in his car. They pulled him over, searched his car, and realized he had a radiated cat.
No, they've got radiation-spotting helicopters, satellites. It's everywhere. But no, Al-Qaeda buried in government buildings 160 nukes. Now, you couldn't get into a government building and bury a daisy, but, oh, they're in there, and we better give all our rights up. Aren't we lucky TSA's there, or Al-Qaeda will detonate the nukes?
And the third thing I'll preface with...
But see, they're the conspiracy theorists. They're the ones that lie and make up ridiculous fables.
Yep. The third thing I was going to bring up is something that tripped me out, and it had to do with Japan, that I'll preface with... I take everything that Benjamin Fulford talks about with a grain of salt, you know, because you can't really prove it. But I've seen an interview with him where he was talking about Japan being threatened with HAARP and all this other stuff. And what tripped me out was I thought he recently did this interview. It was from 2 years ago. It's worth checking out. Just
what did Fulford say?
I saw this interview this past week, and I looked it up to get a better copy and found out that this interview took place 2 years ago, and he was going on 2 years ago about Japan being threatened to go along with the banking system. Japan, the country, was being threatened with HAARP, and that they're going to unleash all these earthquakes on them if they didn't go along with...
I'm not trying to say that there couldn't be something to that, but also Japan is probably, it's debatable, the number one or number two earthquake and tsunami zone in the Great Ring of Fire in the Pacific. So it's one of the most volcanically and tectonically active places in the world. You know, that's why they, for thousands of years, have built their houses out of paper and balsa wood so they don't fall on them and kill them. Kind of saying, well, if there's ever an earthquake or a event here, it must be HAARP. And we do have the former Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, admitting they have earthquake weapons. And so we have to look at that, but I appreciate your call. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with the Mark Dice clip where he tried to pay $1,400 in gold for a... $2 in tacos, two tacos at Taco Bell, and they didn't want it. We're going to play that when we come back.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out.
Okay, folks, we're going to play about a minute and a half clip with Mark Dice, author of Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, his new book available at Infowars.com, where he tried to go to a California Taco Bell with a $1,400 pure U.S. Eagle legal tender $50 gold coin. That's what its face value is, but it's worth $1,400 in real numbers, and for two tacos totaling $2, and they did not want the gold coin. He tries to give the gold coins away and people don't want them. They seem to be afraid of them. And even the Wall Street Journal reported when private money becomes a felony offense, that's the Wall Street Journal, producer of Liberty Dollars is found guilty, and they said he is a domestic terrorist. The Southern Poverty Law Center hailed it and said that they had called him a domestic threat before, and they're very glad that he's been convicted of doing something totally legal. And did we ever find the article I mentioned of the man arrested for using $2 bills at Best Buy? I want to, put that on screen once he gets up here. We're going to Bernard von Notaus here in just a moment. But first, let's play this Mark Dice clip.
Dice, and I'm at the Taco Bell drive-thru right now where I'm going to try to purchase my 99-cent taco with a one-ounce gold coin worth about $1,400. This is an American Eagle gold coin. It's legal tender for $50. It's a $50 coin, but the gold content is worth now about $1,400. And of course, it's ludicrous to try to spend one of these anywhere for the $50. And the point is, of course, to show that most people have no idea what gold is worth or anything. Hopefully, the people at Taco Bell won't. Otherwise, this is going to be the most expensive taco in history.
Hey, it's 108.
Hi. How about a 1 ounce gold coin? Accept 1 ounce gold coins at Taco Bell?
Is this how much it's?
It's a 1 ounce.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
You don't think so? Well, here, I have a couple of Federal Reserve notes. Would you rather have these instead?
Yes.
Okay.
Who needs a... You should keep that as collection.
Who needs a 1 ounce gold coin these days, you know? That's a good point. Who needs... I should keep that as a collection, she said.
Any hot sauce?
No, thanks.
Okay. There
Great.
You go.
Awesome.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Well, thankfully, she thought it was best that I keep my 1 ounce gold coin. Obviously, having no idea what it's worth. And I don't know if it picked up the audio, but I asked, you know, would you rather have these, you know, $2 bills? Would you rather have these two $1 bills? And she said yes.
All right. Now, we're joined by Bernard von Notaus, who for more than 15 years, that's how long I've seen the gorgeous gold and silver coins out there, publicly saying the dollar's going to be devalued. We need to get alternative currencies going. Montana's moving ahead. South Carolina, with their state legislatures to issue their own currencies. Dozens of cities for hundreds of years and currently in the U.S., have their own script that are used and accepted by businesses. When you go to a Dave and Buster's or something to eat dinner and play video games with your children or basketball or foosball, you give them cash and they put it on a digital card. That's a way of transferring or barter. But even the Wall Street Journal said, wow, this jury didn't know anything. And they said, when private money becomes a felony offense, this is very dangerous. We'll also put on screen, I see these reports every few months, if you, at Putt-Putt Golf or at Best Buy, you happen to get some $2 bills, the Declaration of Independence on the back, you go try to buy it, they arrest you, and you go to jail, and then they continue to charge you. And they've got juries ready to send you to prison. And because once they arrest you, they can't say they're wrong. And expanding on this, they went on to say, and we'll go through the court filing, that he is a terrorist. So it's not only counterfeiting to publicly say we have an alternate silver and gold currency, but it is illegal, I guess, to then criticize the Federal Reserve. We had Peter Schiff on earlier, who's very worried about this, and Ron Paul earlier, the congressman, was on with us, saying that he's concerned about him coming after gold and silver. And the canary in the coal mine was Bernard von Notaus. And he's now been convicted. And they're trying to confiscate $7 million of other people's silver and gold that they'd already bought and he was sending to them. Bernard, good to have you on with us.
It's a pleasure, Alex.
Well, I've never talked to such a rascally criminal before. I interviewed you many years ago. You'd run other big, private, very popular collector coin mints. Tell us what happened and how you're the evil terrorist now.
Well, just to clarify about the terrorist thing, Alex, first, you know, I'm not evil, but I am unique. That's what Ann Tompkin referred to me as. I am a unique terrorist. And the reason I would have to be a unique terrorist, even in her book, is because when you look at the different elements that make up the charge of terrorism, violence is one of the requirements. So if I have never shown any violence, I've not had any history of violence, there's no violence at all. So for them to charge me with terrorism, I would have to be not only unique, but they would have to bring out a whole brand new law. So this is a lot of saber rattling on the part of the government. Because I'm not a terrorist, but they sure in hell would like for me to.
And by the way, briefly tell us your history. I remember decades ago seeing your TV ads on, and there's many other companies, but you had one of the most prominent, it was the Hawaiian Mint, correct? Putting out other collector coins. I mean, thousands of companies do this.
Oh, yes, right. I was the co-founder of the Royal Hawaiian Mint. That was 36 years ago. So I have a long history of deviant counterfeiting operations. Alex.
But, I mean, wait a minute. I see commemorative coins all the time for Obama put out by, again, how many private mints are there out there? I mean, this is not illegal, but I guess now it is.
No, it's not illegal, and I wasn't a counterfeiter the last 36 years either. I was just joking about that, Alex.
Of course.
There is, well, the loose number, but around a dozen or so, give or take, a few on each side. But there's a dozen, maybe 15 private mints in the United States. And the Royal Hawaiian Mint was a private mint. Was one of the private mints.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. When did you start the Liberty Dollar? When did the, I know a few years ago they came after you. Now they've, quote, convicted you. But I've seen people convicted for legal firearms as well because some of these juries aren't too informed. But, I mean, let's break down what's happened to you. Are you going to jail? Are you appealing? Where is this going?
Yeah, ditto on all those. Just to give you a real quick scenario, Liberty Dollar was first issued on October 1st, 1998. At the time, there was a $10 silver Liberty. They were $7.50. The highest that that has ever sold for on eBay, not to me, but somebody else bought one for $7.50. It went for $825 for 1 ounce silver Liberty.
I routinely see them for a couple $100 on there. My memory serves, you put out some earlier silver coins because I remember there was an earlier incarnation of this in like the mid-90s that I got from you.
Nope, not like this.
But you were putting out coins before, though, so it must have been one that was similar.
I never have put out a coin because a coin is something issued by the government.
A round.
Well, we like to call them silver liberties because round is kind of like calling you hey. And you probably wouldn't like me to call you hey, would you, Alex?
Okay, well, you've got the floor then. Break down the intricacies of all of this.
What do you mean by that?
The most important info for folks to know of what's happened to you.
Well, what's happening is that they raided Liberty Dollar. They confiscated everything. They arrested me and they convicted me. And they're trying to abscond with 9 tons of gold, silver, and platinum and copper. And the vast majority of that, the way vast majority of that, matter of fact, almost all of it, is property owned by other third parties, either people who ordered products from Liberty Dollar and the orders weren't fulfilled because we were raided, or products that they bought in terms of digital and paper warehouse receipts, and they confiscated the gold and silver that backs that up. So if people really want to take action, then they should be emailing me, Bernard@libertydollar.org, and ask for the form that they need to send back to me from them, identifying themselves as interested parties. Otherwise, the bottom line is the government's going to steal your property. So, Alex, if you have any of those paper warehouse receipts, you should send me an email. I'll send you a little quick little email back that you can then respond to me and identify yourself as an interested party.
And to be clear, I actually do have some of those somewhere in my office because it was not only silver and gold coins, but just like other alternative currencies do, you also had receipts 100% backed up in silver and gold, and it was catching on. But if they tried to scare everybody away from this by going after you, they're failing because of Montana, South Carolina, and other states moving to issue their own currencies.
Well, it isn't just states either, Alex. There's a lot of different people within the movement. Rob Gray with AOCS, who has introduced a whole line of currency, which is extremely similar to the Liberty Dollar. There are a half a dozen other different people who have introduced currencies that are similar to the Liberty Dollar. So the animal is really quite large. And then if you look at the collector Liberty Dollars on eBay, there's anywhere from 400 to 500 different types of Liberty Dollars on eBay, which go anywhere from a few dollars to $20,000 or so. You know, there's a wide range in terms of Liberty Dollars.
Well, how dare you issue collector liberties? Now, where is this going? Give us the time frame. Are you going to jail? Tell us about the trial itself.
I am going to jail. Well, I think I'm going to jail. I don't know. It's really up to the judge. You know, I've never been a criminal before, so I don't know how I'm supposed to behave. The sentences could range from 0 to 15 years. And I don't know where that's going to be. I'm in what is called a pre-sentencing period right now, and the government's working on a pre-sentencing report for me, which will influence the length of my sentence, and then ultimately it will be up to the judge. So the judge could make it anywhere from 0 to 15 years. I have no idea what it's going to be.
How did the judge behave in the case?
I think the judge did a very honorable job. I don't have any complaints with the judge. His rules and his rulings were straightforward. They weren't always in my favor. They weren't always against me either. I think the judge did an honorable job.
Have you had any pre-sentencing hearings yet? Are the feds asking for stiff jail time for your terrorism?
Well, they can't ask for anything for terrorism because I wasn't convicted for terrorism.
They're just calling you a special type. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic, of course.
Unique. Don't forget, unique. Well, no, they haven't put up anything yet, but all that will be put in the pre-sentencing report. And, of course, that's just in its early stages right now.
Well, so tell us about the trial. Tell us about the people involved.
Well, the trial consisted of only 8 days, unfortunately. The government, which was going to last about at least a week, they folded after 2 days. There was only 2 days of the prosecution. That was it. They folded so quickly that we asked the judge for a day to recover and to get things organized because they were going to do for a week and 2 days. I mean, and the judge granted us the motion to give us more time to get our case together. Unfortunately, my attorneys relentlessly whittled away at the defense and packaged it up, much to my disagreement, within only about 4 days. That was it. We started out with 112 witnesses. The judge approved 82 witnesses, which is huge. And we ended up with 8 witnesses.
How could you be convicted of counterfeiting when you never said that this was U.S. government currency? You were talking down that currency, as evidenced by the devaluation now happening of the dollar, and that this was an alternative private currency. I mean, there's so many private currencies it'll make your head spin. I mean, this the Wall Street Journal is saying this has set a very dangerous precedent.
I totally agree with you, and the thing is that the chief counsel for NorFed and the Liberty Dollar testified. He was the first witness to testify. He testified for over a half a day and gave me an ironclad reliant defense, otherwise known as good faith defense, because everything I did was under his guidance and with his permission. So he told me that what I was doing was not illegal. So in spite of that, the jury came back and found me guilty. How is that possible? I don't know. I'm not guilty. I'm still not guilty, but I have been found guilty by the jury, but not by the popular press. Even AP and Wall Street Journal, everybody's pretty amazed. You look at the feedback on the different articles. If you go to the Yahoo page.
No, it's 98% on your side. I've never seen anything like it. I think they're really revealing themselves as tyrants. But what about this jury? I mean, did these people, did they have 10 fingers, 10 toes? I mean, could they talk?
They talked enough to get appointed to the jury, yes. And there were 9 guys and 3 women. And yeah, Alex, I don't know how it happened. My attorneys were shocked. I'm a little shocked myself. I'm facing 15 years.
How can I be convicted of this? I had Reliant Defense. I never had any criminal intent. They didn't prove any criminal
Well, you've been doing it for what, 12, 13 years?
This is the 13th year, yes, sir.
Unlucky year. Wow. Well, I mean, as Peter Schiff said, as Ron Paul said, this is all setting a very dangerous precedent for everybody. I mean, Wall Street Journal says, well, this has always been legal, but if they can find juries, I mean, what next? Is having a ham sandwich going to be punishable by 15 years? Is having black hair going to be illegal? Is walking your dog going to be illegal? If they can do this, well, they were scared of you. I mean, I want to talk about why you think they came after you and how we can help you. Bernard von Notaus is our guest. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com. Adding insult to injury, Bernard von Notaus has also had his website and his First Amendment taken away under court order, so he's, I guess, not allowed to do that and tell people his side of the story. But clearly, even the mainline media is freaked out by this. And if we go back to 1933, when they ordered everybody to turn their gold in, then they sold it to Europe and doubled the price. If we put up with these crooks, there's no end to what they'll do. And they've got an army of handpicked juries that will put Mother Teresa behind bars. Bernard, your comments. Bernard, your comments.
Alex?
Yes, sir. I know you're having trouble hearing us. So where do we go from here?
Well, I think people should certainly protect their purchasing power by getting gold and silver. And while I was convicted of Liberty Dollar, people could certainly band together to do something else, you know. The government was very specific in their case, and so they charted an interesting path. I don't know if anybody else is going to go down that path after I get sentenced or not, but certainly with hyperinflation on the horizon, Alex, people have to take action.
Well, you've certainly been proven right, and so has Ron Paul. Expanding on that, bottom line, they came after you to create a chilling effect, to scare people away from alternate currencies.
Well, that's certainly been the effect. There's no doubt about that. But the bottom line, and Ron Paul actually mentioned this on the floor of the Congress, and that was that the government felt threatened. And quite frankly, Alex, I don't have such airs as that, to be honest with you. I find it unbelievable that this government would be threatened by anything or anyone, particularly a kickback surfer dude like myself from Hawaii. But evidently the idea of an individual creating his own currency and the enormous popularity that it enjoyed, the government must have felt threatened. They had to do something.
Well, sir, now they're coming out saying they want to restrict free speech. I mean, they are threatened by any form of liberty.
Oh, yes. You know, and that was the really damaging thing, or the threatening thing, about being a unique terrorist, because in that sort of situation, Alex, they can take the word terrorist and tailor it to anything they want or they need for a particular situation, including yourself, Alex.
Oh, I know. They're using the Patriot Act now against marijuana, family violence. A lot of the media is saying maybe I need to be censored, maybe I'm a terrorist. I know. These people are authoritarian despots and are very dangerous. And any idea on when the sentencing is coming back up? Because I'd like to interview you again.
Well, we don't know for sure, but it takes about 2 months to do the pre-sentencing report, and so that would be happening during April and May, so I might be sentenced in June would be a guesstimate on my part.
Did they threaten you to keep your mouth shut or anything?
They, meaning the government?
Yes, our lords.
No, they haven't had any contact with me at all, and that wouldn't be proper for them to do that.
Are the feds proud of what they're doing, though? I mean, are they feeling good about this?
They must be. I mean, they got the conviction that they wanted, and they duped the jury into convicting me. If they're not happy, and I'm not happy, damn, there's something wrong with this crazy. Somebody's supposed to come out of every deal being happy, you know?
Well, I guess they're pleased. America is imploding and dying right now, so their job is going quite well for them, but America is waking up. In closing, is there an address, a phone number, where people can support you or contact you, Bernard von Nothaus?
Yes. The only way to reach me right now is, even the phones are on automatic. The only way to really reach me is through my email address, which is Bernard@libertydollar.org. That's really the only way.
Bernard, thank you so much. Ron Paul coming up.